when I hear these guys sing, and I know this sounds crazy, but frame of condition gets worse. I see these guys actually performing at places like Dollywood and stuff like that. Dream big, my soul, dream big. God thinks his thoughts through you.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Think about that. I love it. And when you see young folk doing something for God, don't get jealous. God's just wanting to use somebody.
Amen.
He'll speak to anybody. And I was listening to that song, It's Under the Blood. It kind of went with what we talked about this morning, wasn't it, man?
Yeah.
Because, see, the thing is, when the enemy comes against you, see, I want to say something this evening because I feel like it's something that needs to be said. Sometimes we get upset with people about them coming against us, but you got to remember, it's not them.
That's right.
It's the enemy. Anybody that the enemy can use to come against you, he will use. And I hate to say this, but 9 times out of 10, it's family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe it don't happen up here, but it happens down home. Glory to God. They'll remind you. Some people love to keep, they keep better records of me than I do. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. I forget. So half the things they tell me about, I've done forgot.
Amen.
But we're going to talk again tonight. We set a foundation this morning, and I can see why Philip sticks around because we had some good eating this afternoon. I mean, praise God. I was sitting there, and Elder Mike had to go back home. He's a farmer, and he had to go back and tend to his animals and stuff, and he said he'd try to get back up here this week. But we're talking this week on expectancy. Now, I shared with you this morning what God spoke to me about 2018, 2019 for the church. But I want to dive deeper in this teaching. You go back to 1 Kings because that's where we're going to dive again tonight. In this season that I'm preaching, I've been preaching, as I told you this morning, 28 years. Started preaching when I was 16. Been pastoring since I was 20 and I'm 44. And the thing that God has spoke to me in this season of my ministry, how many of you know we go through seasons?
Amen.
Come on. This season that I'm in is a season of teaching. It's a season of equipping young men like Pastor Philip and Brother Craig and Pastor Tommy, pouring into them what God has poured into me. Come on now. The anointing that's in your life don't need to lie dormant when you die. Glory to God. It needs to be flowing into somebody else. These young boys are carrying the anointing that was passed on to them through their family.
Yes, amen.
And see, we live in a spirit of we're waiting on somebody, as I said this morning, to move for us. But we need to understand that we live in a spirit of expectancy. We can see God do things in our life that we've never seen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Or this evening, excuse me. I'm usually preaching in the morning most of the time at the church. So this evening, when we expect something, now, how many of you this evening, when you got into your car, expected it to start? Okay, maybe we all prayed by faith. Got one more time, baby, one more. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But we expected it to start. Why?
We depend on it.
We depend on it. We've seen it happen before.
Yeah.
But how many of you get mad when it don't do what it was supposed to do?
Really mad.
You're like, you're rebuking that battery in Jesus' name. But the thing is, we expect it. It's really not that we expect it, it's we've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I expect something in my life, I'll be like, the Bible says now faith is a substance of things hoped for. What is a substance? Something that I can touch. And the evidence of things not seen. You think about it this evening. You in this church here at Newland Christian, you in this church, you need to get prepared because it's coming. We shared this morning about the abundance of rain. But I want to dive back this evening to something that happened before the abundance. If you remember, you can read this when you get home. But in 1 Kings chapter 18, we read a story. And I'm not going to go into it for lack of time. But you can read it. Verses 20 through, I'm going to tell you 20 through 40. So you don't want me to read 20 verses tonight. But if we study it, let's just dive into one. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21. And Elijah came to all the people. Now, if you'll study the Word of God, the people had turned from God. If you'll remember, King Ahab worshipped Baal. He was the god of fertility. Jezebel She worshiped the goddess of fertility, Assyria. And they had turned their backs on God. As a matter of fact, if you remember the story, the Bible says that Elijah goes to the king. He's a Tishbite. He's from Avery County. Now catch this. He goes up to the president, or the king, and says, let me tell you something, king. It's not going to rain till I say it's going to rain. And the king's like, who are you? But if you remember the story, glory to God, they went into that time. And when they did, he walks up and says, it's not going to rain until he says it's going to rain. And King Ahab sent a decree to kill him. And how many of you know where God guides, God provides?
Amen.
Come on now. Yep. And if you study the story a little bit deeper, he runs from the king. He was a Tishbite. Tishbites were nobodies. How many of you thank God today that God can take a bunch of nobodies and make them somebodies because he's going to get the glory? Hallelujah. So the Bible says that you can, amen. I told them this morning, I'm an app preacher. I'm an appy. An audience participation preacher. If you want to say amen, please say amen. Glory to God. I'm begging you to say amen. That way I know you're listening and not asleep. But anyway, glory to God. So he sits there and he leaves. And God tells him, I'm going to teach tonight. God tells him, says, Elijah, go to the brook called Cherith. And when you get there, I will provide a raven, and that raven will come and feed you three times a day. Now catch this. What does a raven symbolize? Death. Oh, come on now. Y'all ain't how many years? There goes them buzzards. Something's dead. But this raven symbolized death. But how many of you know tonight that God can take death and give you life?
Yes.
If you don't believe it, look at the cross of Calvary. Glory to God, Jesus died on a cross so that we could have life and not just go through life, brother. He said that we may have life and have it more abundantly. I don't know about you, but I like more abundantly.
Yes.
Glory to God, I just don't like getting by. Glory to God, I want to live more abundantly. I hear people say this all the time. I can't wait to get to heaven, glory to God, and get my robe and my crowns. How many of you know tonight, if we're children of God, we're representatives of Christ?
Yes.
Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. Amen. But I don't thank God. Now, I might not get too many amens here, but I'm still going to say it. But I don't think God wants us riding around in a Ford Pinto being held together by Christian bumper stickers saying, what would Jesus do? I believe God wants us to live abundantly here on earth.
Yes, amen.
Pastor, how do I do that? The Bible says in Malachi how you do that.
Yeah.
Bring all your tithes and your offerings into the storehouse.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll say that again. As Malachi said that, brother. I didn't say it. That ain't the Jonathan Castigan version. Hallelujah. He says, bring all your tithes and your offerings into the storehouse so that there may be meat in my house. And then he says this, prove me. Yeah. How many times has God ever lied to you?
That's right.
Yeah. Hallelujah. So when he says, prove me and see if I won't. Open up the windows. You missed it. That's plural.
That's right.
And pour you out blessings that there's not room enough to receive.
Yes.
You know why? So you can bless somebody else. Hallelujah. Have you ever? I'm going to challenge you this week. I feel the Holy Spirit saying this. I'm going to challenge you this week to buy somebody's lunch between now and Wednesday. That's behind you. If you go, I know y'all don't drive through drive-thrus in Avery County. I mean, come on now. But the thing is, how many of you know if you do that? God spoke to me, brother, to do that one time. And how many of God spoke to me? And I'm going to tell you, Pastor Philip, what he said. He said, I want you to bless the vehicle behind you and buy their lunch. And old flesh said, let's count how many people's in there. Well, that is a van. One, two, four. I found seven heads. And I was like, oh, God, you weren't talking to me. I mean, come on now. Hallelujah. You talked to the boy down the street.
That's right.
But God spoke to me and said, buy their lunch.
That's right.
I looked at the lady and I'm like, I walk by faith, not by sight. I want to pay for the one behind me. And she said, $28. I said, okay. How many of you have told you this morning, delayed obedience is disobedience. So God spoke to me. And it just so happens, my meal wasn't as big as theirs, Pastor Philip. But I had to go and stop. Mine was just a small sandwich and a fry. I was like, man, you know, y'all make this every day. I'm not going to tell you the name of the establishment. Y'all make this every day. But God made me stop. They got their food before I did, and the lady parked to the side. She came up to me. And here's what she said, brother. She said, "You didn't have to do that, but thank God that you did. I had a choice to feed my family or buy my baby diapers. And now I can not only just feed my family, I can buy my baby diapers."
Yeah.
See, you don't understand. I didn't do that to brag on me.
No.
But sometimes God will tell you to do stupid things. Come on now.
That's right.
Maybe I'm the only one.
No.
But glory to God. God will speak to you. See, God will, and we're talking about that with expectancy. God will speak to you to do a crazy thing. I mean, God spoke to Elijah. And told Elijah, said, "Go tell King Ahab, it's not going to rain. I say it's going to rain." But let's study the scripture. So he goes to the brook called Cherith. He gets water from the brook. He gets fed three times a day. How many of you heard the scripture where it says, "And the brook dried up"? Have you ever had times in your life where something just dried up?
Yeah, amen.
You know why it dried up? Because it's time to move somewhere else.
That's right.
And then God speaks to him and he says this: "Go to the gate of the sea. And you'll see a widowed woman at the gate. Tell her you're coming to live with her, to stay with her." When he gets to the gate of the sea, I'm talking about expectancy, we're going somewhere. When he gets to the gate of the sea, he tells the widowed woman, "I'm coming home with you."
Yeah.
She said, "Oh, no, you ain't." How many of you, if I went up to you, some of you probably would because you feel sorry for me. But how many of you, if I walked up to this young man, don't even know him, "I'm coming home, stay. I'm coming to stay a couple weeks with y'all guys." He's going to look and say, "Yeah, I can try it. I didn't bring you in this world, but I'll take you out. Glory to God."
Right.
But he walks up to her and says, "Lady, I'm coming to your house."
That's right.
And the woman says, "Uh-uh." She said, "I'm gathering twigs. And I'm going to make enough for me and my baby boy. Just enough, and then we're going to die." Then Elijah says this, "Listen, lady." No, he tells her, she looked back and says, "You'll make it for me first." Mm-hmm. Mm. She says, "Huh? I'm not." So he back up. He said, "I'm going to reach this bit. It'll be this for me and my boy, and we're going to die." Elijah says, "Huh?" He says, "Feed me first." And a young lady, I call them young, you're not old until you get 100 and you just start living. But the young lady said this, she says, "Okay, I'll feed you." He said, "Lady, as long as you feed me, there'll always be oil in the cruse."
Yes.
"And meal in the barrel."
Yes. Amen.
Don't you think after that lady fixed that little cake for him and fixed it for her son and her, and she wakes up the next morning? I mean, guys, she used everything she had to make that meal. How many of you know tonight that when you're down to nothing, God is always up to something? Hallelujah. No matter how bad it gets. How many of you have ever hit rock bottom?
Yes. Amen.
Okay, I have. But let me ask you a question. You know the only way you can go after you've hit rock bottom? It's back up. I mean, come on now. Glory to God. So she went, she said, "Okay, I'm going to test it. I'm going to prove it." So you know what happened? She went to the barrel. And guess what was there? There was a meal.
Yeah.
What did she do when she went to the cruise? There was oil.
Yes.
Now let me tell you what winded up happening. The Bible says that God's a God of overflow.
Yes.
So every time she obeyed the voice of God, her meal got more in the barrel.
Yes.
And her oil got started overflowing. I bet people in the neighborhood said, "I don't know what she's tapped into, but man, I'm telling you, they eating good over in that house." And I remember when she didn't have a thing. Hallelujah. They didn't have EBT back there, glory to God. They had F-A-I-T-H. Glory to God. They had faith to believe that they could see things happen.
Amen.
Think about it. Think about it. So what happened? Then, God spoke. How many of you know it didn't rain for 3 years? It didn't do, it didn't miss. Didn't do nothing. And then about that time, God said, "Elijah, go tell the king." He goes to the king, he tells all and says, "Listen, you've got 450 prophets of Baal. You've got 400 prophets of Assyria. Let's not be torn between two opinions."
Yeah.
How many of you know some of the two-headed monsters are free?
Yep. Amen.
That's the problem we have in a lot of the church world today. Everybody's wanting to run the house.
Yeah.
But God's only brought one prophet to it.
Yeah, amen.
Everybody, I'm going to tell you, I remember Irma one time. How many of you back in the day just thought it was so hard to go to heaven? Yeah. Maybe y'all didn't get raised like this up here, but I was raised that God's behind the corner waiting to, for me to make a mistake and go to hell.
Yeah.
Y'all ever had that up here? I was scared to death. Glory to God, I told my daddy one time, daddy was telling me all the do's and don'ts of being a Christian. I said, Daddy, I just think I just really go to hell. This going to heaven is too hard. I said, how many of you know we're no longer under law? We're saved by grace.
Yes.
Glory to God, we're saved by grace.
So,
I don't mean you go out and just willfully sin, go out and shoot somebody. Glory to God, but we are saved by grace.
Yes.
As Pastor Philip did a while ago and said, does anybody need to take communion? I think that's a good thing to take every day.
Yes.
Because how many of you know the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory
yes.
of God?
Amen.
Glory to God. I don't know, like I told you this morning, I don't want to miss the mark, but let's go back. So 850 come up. And he tells the people, he says, now expectancy. You go ahead. We're going to make a decision tonight. Whoever God answers by fire, that's who you're going to serve.
That's right.
So what's the Bible say? So Elijah said, I'll tell you what, here's what we're going to do. I'll let y'all get started. Y'all bring us both a bull. Come on, I know. We're going to shout in a minute. Y'all go ahead and bring us a bull. And he said, y'all go ahead and get y'all started. But see, the thing that you need to understand, Elijah did not have an altar to worship God. How many of you know, if you study the book of 1 Kings, they tore down the altar of God?
They
had an altar of Baal, an altar of Assyria. They had an altar of fertility. And the thing was simply this. He said, y'all go ahead and start. He said, y'all go ahead and slice it in order. Y'all go ahead and put a little something on it. He said, y'all go ahead. I'll let y'all go first. How many of you are confident enough in God that you can say, I know He'll answer. You go first. Hallelujah. You go ahead and do your thing. I know my God's going to answer. He may not answer, sister, when I want it. Because that's not the way God works. He will do it when He wants it. When we show Him, brother, that we're at the point that He can give it to us. I mean, think about this. Some of you sat here this morning. Tonight, you may be saying, Pastor Jonathan, I want God to give me a brand new home. Well, I'm just going to mess you up. How good you taking care of this one? Y'all know the new car smell. You get a new car, the kid's not eating it. We ain't going to put no mud in this thing. We ain't going to let her get, I said, hey, hallelujah. And I'm a teacher, we ain't going to let it get, we're not going to let it get dirty. And AIDS at Webster Dictionary now. But the thing is, all of a sudden the newness comes off. Well, just like my little baby had that fit of carnality right there. Glory to God, I'll just give the baby the food. And then the next thing you know, McDonald's is cooking in your back seat. Because you got all that nastiness. And about 2 months ago, we ain't let nothing mess this thing up. The thing is, God says this, brother. And I'm going to teach you this tonight. If you'll be faithful over the little things God gives you, He'll give you, make you rule over many things that He'll give you. Just like for your parents. Think about this. Us parents, I'm not going to get out my car tonight. Now, if y'all have that, God bless you, tell me how it works. But I'm not going to give the keys to my 4-year-old daughter and let her drive me home tonight. Why? That's just stupid. And see, we're asking God for big things, but we're not even using the little things that God's given us. Y'all, so you think about this. But the Bible says that they go. And they start calling on Baal. And they're calling in the morning. They're calling about afternoon. Elijah says this. He says, hey, listen. Listen, guys. Maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe your God is asleep. Maybe your God, in other words, he's mocking them now. He said, maybe he's just not doing what he says he's going to do. And then he says, but y'all keep on doing it. You know, keep on doing it. Then about that time, the Bible says, toward the very end of their sacrifice, they begin to cut themselves. Study when you get home. They were cutting themselves because their God was not answering. So then about that time, Elijah said, let me put a little something on this. So the Bible says that he rebuilt the altar of God. And then he says this, brother. He says, I want you to build trenches around the sacrifice. He said, I want you to spill. He said, I want you to put water around the in the ditches. I want you to throw water on the sacrifice. I want you to saturate this thing. And you know why he was doing that? Because he knew that he served a God that wasn't going to let him look like a fool. Sometimes when God tells us to do something, we say this. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. I'll look foolish if I do that. I'll look foolish if I fast. I'll look foolish if I pray. I'll look foolish around the guys at work if I bow my head and pray. Have we been guilty of that before? Yes. Everybody in here from time to time, I'm saying, has done that. Instead of praying like you usually pray. But see, the thing is, guys, it's simply this. That about that time. Let me tell you what God showed me about that teaching real quick. And I hope I've got it right here. But I'm going to tell you exactly how many pounds of water there was. And right now I couldn't find that note to save my life. Here it is. But anyway, long story short, there was over 240 pounds of water in those trenches. That's a lot of water, isn't it? 240 pounds of water. That's me. That's me poundage-wise. About that time, he says this. He sets the sacrifice up, and he says this. The Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, I ask you right now, and I'm going to share something with you about that call. In other words, some scripture says the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But about that time, he calls upon him. And let me tell you what happens, brother. The Bible says that the fire falls down from heaven, soaks up the water in the trenches, soaks up the water on the sacrifice, and takes the sacrifice. And let me share something with you tonight about expectancy. Why did he say, the Lord of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob? Here it is. Abraham, he made a covenant with. Oh, come on now. I just got a question. Anybody here part of Abraham's seed? Glory to God. He made a covenant with Abraham.
That's right.
Isaac was the promised.
Yes.
Oh, come on, church. You think about it. Abraham received the covenant. Isaac was the promise. And Israel walked in the promise.
That's right.
See, the thing you need to understand tonight is this. When you live in a spirit of expectancy, it may not come quickly. If you want God, God's not McDonald's half the time. And He's not Burger King your way right away.
That's right.
Let me share this with you. When you're expecting something from God, He will allow just enough time to pass before that you are expecting to seriously challenge most of what you know about Him.
That's right. That's right.
Have you ever been praying and you just didn't feel like He was hearing you?
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah.
God, why don't I hear you?
Yes.
But can I tell you something about God? If you hold your child tightly, they can't hear you, but they can feel you.
Yes, amen.
Oh, come on. Have you ever just held your child so tight that you say something to them? I can't hear you. You're holding me too tight. See, the thing is simply this. If you're not hearing God right now and you're living the life that God wants you to live, you're in the hollow of His hand, baby.
Yes.
You're rocking in His arms. He's holding you tight. Because the thing is simply this. As God gives you a promise, just like the vision of this church, when God gives you a promise, you should expect it to come to pass.
Yes, amen.
My children, I'm sure your children, we don't give everything they want. Sometimes we give exactly what they need.
Amen.
Come on now, I'm in Avery County, I'm not Forsyth or Mecklenburg, right? We still whip our children up here, right? We don't put them in time out, do we? I mean, that's just crazy. Time out. Put them in time out. You wonder why the young folk are the way they are today.
Yes, amen.
Glory to God. If it worked for me, it'll work for them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My daddy whipped me when I wasn't guilty of nothing. And here was my daddy's way of saying it. Well, you must have done something that you got away with, so now we're even. If Daddy was true, Daddy said, I brought you in this world and I'll take you out. And me and your mama make another one just like you. Mama and Daddy, I called the bluff. And I've got a 28-year-old brother.
Yeah.
And I'm 44.
Yes,
and he used to look like me. Mom and Daddy let me know it's time to leave home, and they put my bed beside the door. Y'all think I'm kidding? My daddy was sitting here right now. He'd tell you. So, time to leave, boy. Time to leave. I promised 18, not 18 years in one day.
That's right.
It's time to leave. But the thing is, we give our children what we know they can take care of.
Yes, amen.
I mean, I'm still waiting for one of my children to jump up and say, Daddy, I'm older than you are. And I've got 22-year-old, 21-year-old, 18-year-old, and then the little ones right here, and a grandson. I'm hoping he just steps up one day and says, Papa, I got it. Please, boy, push it. Hallelujah. But think about it. If what you are asking for God for doesn't come today, it doesn't mean it's not coming.
That's right.
It doesn't mean it's not coming. Think about Elijah when he told the servant, go out and look over the sea and see if there's a cloud.
Yeah.
We studied it this morning when he came back the first time. But Elijah was expected.
Yeah.
He said, go out. Then the seventh time he goes out. And then he tells, we studied this morning, so this is just building a foundation again. So he sits there and he says, hey, don't get excited. But I see a cloud in the form of a man's hand. How can you say an abundance is coming when you don't have nothing but a hand? Come on. And Elijah says this. He says, you go tell Ahab that it's going to rain.
Yeah.
He better get his chariot. He better get down the mountain. Because if he don't, he's going to be in a flood. He's going to be in a landslide. And then the Bible says, as I said this morning, the Holy Spirit hits Elijah. And he outruns Ahab in the chariot down the mountain.
Amen.
So what are you expecting? Let's go. Catch this. It did not take a thundercloud, but a very small cloud of expectancy. When you live in the spirit of expectancy, don't think, oh, here it is. Don't think God will do it the same way every time.
That's right. That's right.
Anybody ever been guilty of that?
Yeah.
He's going to do it the same way he did last time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, he ain't. God's not a God of repetition.
That's right.
He's not a repeat God. He'll do it different every time. Whenever people told me when I was a little kid that I couldn't even read because I had a stuttering problem, because I was slow of understanding, comprehending words. And I remember one of my teachers told me, said, you're never going to amount to nothing. Well, when I received my doctorate in theology,
yes, amen,
she was the first person I called. And I looked at her, and I didn't look at her, sorry. I didn't want to look at her, so I called her. And I said her name. I said, thank you. She said, for what? I said, for telling me I can't.
Yes, amen.
You're missing it.
Yes.
There's people in your life right now that have told you can't do something. Am I talking to anybody
yes,
in this
okay,
house? Glory to God. You can't do nothing. You're not going to amount to nothing. You're going to be just like your alcoholic grandpa.
Oh,
you're
going
to be just like your dope-headed grandma. You're going to be just like your mom or your dad. There's nothing wrong with being like your parents in some way. How many times has your wife ever told you this? Not you, buddy. You've got a legal wife. How many times has your wife ever told you this? You're just like your daddy. Anybody ever done that? You're just like your mom. Maybe nobody else has. They don't do this in every county. When Heather starts acting up, I'm like, you're just like your mom. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I rebuke her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I mean, you think about it. You know what the difference between the in-laws and outlaws are? Outlaws are wanted. Hallelujah. In-laws just come with the territory. If you've got some good ones, God bless you. If you don't, welcome to the club. Hallelujah. But think about it. When you're living in it, it doesn't happen the same way every time. Well, the last time I asked God for something, it didn't happen that way. But I remember how it used to happen. God spoke to me and told me to tell you this. God wants to do great things in you, but you need to move beyond the good old days.
Yes, amen.
I guarantee you, if there's a patriarch of this church here, they can tell us how it used to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I remember when we came to church and the Holy Spirit hit the church.
Amen.
And we didn't get out till 2 o'clock. You do that today, they'll have an election next Sunday.
Yeah,
hallelujah. Because they're going to get a preacher that's going to get them to this barbecue place down the road before the Baptists get there. Glory to God. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. If we don't beat them, they'll get the best.
Yeah.
Well, there was a time that the best came to church.
Yes,
and we ate it on the ground.
Yes.
I mean, we didn't, but the older generation did. And they did. They had food after Sunday morning service, and then they had church after they ate. How many of you remember hearing those things? You know why? Because they knew to trust only in God.
Amen.
But the thing is, you might say, Pastor, that's funny. It's true. You know, we talk a lot, and I'm going to land the plane very quickly. But no, I'm not. I'm just going to obey God. I'm not going to jump ahead of that this time. But the thing is, so many times we cheat God.
Yeah.
Can I help you? When He says, bring your tithes and offerings into the house that there might be meat in my house, it's a tithing of everything.
Yes, that's right.
And 10% of your time a week belongs to God.
That's right.
Oh, hope y'all brought some steel-toed boots, because here it comes.
Yeah.
A tithing of your time is 17 hours plus every week.
Mm-hmm.
You're missing it. And we don't spend 17 hours in church.
That's right.
If we spent 17 hours in church, it'd probably just be me and Pastor Phil, maybe a couple months. But you might say, well, Pastor, I don't have time to do stuff for God. I'm busy. You know what busy stands for? Being under Satan's yoke.
Yeah.
B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. If Satan can keep us busy,
yeah,
he can keep the fulfillment of the vision God has given for us for this life here on earth.
Yeah.
He'll keep it away from us.
That's right.
When is the last time? And I'm challenging you about expecting. And we're going to talk more about it tomorrow night too. But when was the last time you got in your prayer closet and spent some time with God?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to help you, okay? There's a difference between asking God for something and spending time with Him.
That's right. That's right.
Uh-huh. When's the last time you just got your prayer closet? What's a prayer closet? It's just a place where it's just you and God.
Yes, thank you.
And most of the time, I guess it's when I'm mowing a lot. Because ain't no, my wife, I would about pass out. Dehydration. If I didn't start looking like I was about to pass out because it's so hot. They'll throw me a water like a bone every once in a while. And I'll thank God for that water. But the thing is simply this. Did you know that we shouldn't pray for ourselves?
That's right.
Because the Bible says He knows our need even before we ask.
Right.
What is prayer? Prayer is even interceding for someone else.
Yeah.
Prayer is just saying, God, I want You to bless my spiritual son, Philip. I want You to pour out an anointing on him as never before.
Yes.
God, I want You to touch Craig's situations in his life. God, I want You to do these things for these people. If you've got a sickness, pray for somebody that's got a sickness.
Yes.
And what you pray for others, God will do for you.
Yes, amen.
Glory to God, there might be somebody here tonight. You might say, well, you know, the doctors have told me that, or somebody in my family, that we're never going to have a baby.
Go ahead.
That it's never going to happen. Because the doctor said, well, I read in the Bible where a great physician came on the scene.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Mm-hmm. A woman with the issue of blood over 4,000 days.
Yeah.
The Bible said, now remember, they were still under law. I'm going to land it. They were still under law. And Levitical law says that when a woman had her issue, she was placed in a dark room. She was placed in a room that she could only be in. If anybody came into that room, they were unclean.
That's right.
And the thing was simply that for 12 years, 4,000, I believe I got it in one of my messages, 4,884 days, this woman, our calendar, had this issue. She had spent every penny she had to go to doctors, but the Bible said that her condition continually got worse.
That's right.
But she heard about Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
She heard that this man named Jesus through the doors, through the cracks and the crevices of the home. Somebody came down the street and said, there was a man named Jesus right up the street. I once was blind, but now I see. Glory to God, another one comes by and said, this man raised Lazarus from the grave. Come on, you should have shouted. Because sometimes you've got to get next to death or even experience death to come back to life. Glory to God. But the woman said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. See, she didn't pray and say, I want to be healed. She had to activate her faith by getting out. So the thing was, she said something within herself, Brother Craig. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment.
Just the hem
of your pants. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will. Y'all should have shouted. I know I will be made whole. Glory to God. My sister Deborah, she had leukemia. I'm going to help you. My sister Deborah had leukemia when she was born. And she was as red as this inner thing of this offering plate. And the doctors told my mom and daddy at Elkin Hospital, they told my mom and daddy, says, your baby's got leukemia. And you might as well get prepared to bury her. Because there's nothing more we can do. They handed my sister to my mama and daddy. And they said, we're going to send you down to Baptist Hospital Monday. But they forgot Sunday came before Monday.
Hallelujah.
And glory to God. So mom and daddy came to the church and brought my little sister. And she was as red could be. Yes, she had leukemia. But daddy and mama took her up to the preacher. And the preacher that prayed over my sister. Mom and daddy took her to Baptist. They ran test after test after test after test after test on my sister. And they told my mom and daddy, said, Ralph and Carol, Mr. and Ms. Castings, will you come in here? I want to tell you something. The doctor said, sit down. I don't think you are ready for this. And mom and daddy was sitting there. And he said, I don't know where they got your daughter had leukemia. But I can't find a trace of leukemia in that child's body. My sister today is 38 years old. Glory to God, she got 5 kids. She sings on the praise and worship team of her church. And she does not have no sign of leukemia in her body. See, mom and daddy said this, brother, if we could just get to church.
Yes.
Come on now. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. I know I'll be made whole. Let me mess you up this morning, this evening. Glory to God. Do you think it was easy, brother, for that woman to go through that crowd? I mean, there was a crowd of people around Jesus. She was weak in body. But she said she was going to press through to a breakthrough. Glory to God. So when that lady started coming toward Jesus, glory to God, I'm going to tell you something. I bet they kicked her. I bet they stepped on her. But she was determined. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment if it takes my life till I do it. And the Bible said she touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus breaks. Wow, you touched me. It wasn't that Jesus touched her. When's the last time you had one of those moments where Jesus said, who touched me? You might say, Pastor, you're crazy. Well, pray my condition gets worse. We can get that close to God that when we pray, he said, who touched me? Who touched me? Glory to God. I don't want to be like the man in the Bible or the disciples. You remember when the disciples said they're going to cast a demon out of somebody? Glory to God. And that demon looked down and said, Jesus, I know.
That's right.
Peter, I know. But who are you?
That's right.
Satan will call you bluff on me.
That's
glory
right.
to God. Especially when you say, I want to start giving to God what belongs to God.
Yes.
And the enemy says, you got a power bill, dude.
Yeah, amen.
But I have a God that can give me power when the I don't know who y'all have up here, but Duke Energy takes ours off because it's ours
right.
off.
Amen.
I mean, come on now.
Yes.
You might say, Pastor, you seen it happen? Yes, I have many times.
Yes.
Me and my wife needed a miracle in our life not too long ago. The tires are on the Tahoe. I was while riding around the bald tires in prayer. And I was having to come up to preach at Brother Pastor Tommy's church. And I sat there and I said this. I don't know if I get up there. If it rains, I'm gonna fishtail this thing. And then this guy came to my house. And he said, I want to give you something. He gave us a check for over $2,000. Come on now, you should have shouted.
Yes,
And what was we able to do? First off, we gave God his.
That's right.
Because I ain't putting nothing in my vehicle that's not mine.
That's right.
Glory to God. So we gave God his. And then we was able to put new tires in the Tahoe. We was able to do some other things with the vehicles that we had. And the thing is, you might say, Pastor, are you bragging? No, I'm bragging on God.
Yes,
because
amen.
See, when I was down to nothing, and I was supposed to come up this mountain, which takes me an hour and 30 minutes to get up here. Glory to God. And my family's in the vehicle with me because my family goes everywhere I go, unless there's work or school. And I'm sitting there like, God, you've got to make a way. But he said in his word, I'll make a way where there seems to be no way.
Yes.
So the woman touched him. And when the woman touched Jesus, what happens? He said, who touched you? The disciples said, how can you ask us who touched you? Don't you see this crowd? He said, somebody touched me.
Yes, amen.
Because I felt the virtue live in my body. And that lady says, I believe she said it this way. I think she was fearful. I did. Jesus said, get up, woman. Your faith has made thee whole.
Yes.
See, so many times, and I'm closing, so many times we want God to do things and us not do nothing.
That's right.
Think about this. People many times, and I haven't even got through the first page on that, and those books, right? But the thing is simply this. So many times we're asking God when it's really us that needs to step up to the plate.
Yes.
Think about this. People like to trash Peter because he began to sink. But you know what? He got unloaded.
Yes, he did.
I want to share something with you you probably never heard. Maybe if you have, I pray you do. But when they see Jesus walking on the water, Peter speaks up and says, bid me come unto you. Let's break it down. Let's go 2018, okay? Hey, I want to come out there where you at. Jesus says, come. Here's something you don't want to miss. He didn't say, Peter, come.
That's right.
He said, come, which means anybody in that boat, brother, could have got out of the boat and went to Jesus.
Yeah.
But Peter took God at his word.
Yes.
And Peter stepped out of the boat, and he began walking on water. But please catch this. As long as he was focused on the promise,
yes,
he didn't sink. But when he started looking at the waves being boisterous, he began to sink. See, the thing, can I help you on something tonight? If you keep your eyes on the promise,
yes,
there is no limitation to where God can take you.
Yes, amen.
See, but the thing is simply this. We take our eyes off.
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all, but if I'm running, I can't look down. I'll trip and fall. When I get on, I know it sounds crazy, when I get on the treadmill to work out, I don't look at the elevation, and I don't look at the speed. I look at where I'm going. Some of you here tonight, and I'm challenging you on expectancy, you're spending too much time looking in the rear view,
yeah,
when you need to be focusing on the windshield.
Yeah.
See, isn't it amazing? And I know I got to land this thing, but isn't it amazing? How big is your rear view mirror?
Itty bitty.
Itty bitty. How big's your windshield?
Humongous.
You thank you. That brother's listening. Humongous! Hit me one time. There we go. Glory to God. I like that. It's humongous.
That's right.
Which means that we should spend more time focusing on what's
right
before us.
Yes, amen.
Instead of looking. Now, the only time I look in my rear view, can I be real with y'all, is if I see a state trooper going the other way. Because I, first thing I'm like, Lord Jesus, I was going 5 miles over the speed limit, but then I got so many friends that are state troopers, it's 5 and you're 5, 9 and you're 9. So I'm like, I'm good, hallelujah. Let me help y'all, 5 and you're 5, 9 and you're 9, okay? If you're going 9 mile an hour over the speed limit, unless you got one of them cocky police officers. And the only reason I'm telling y'all that is because I'm a police chaplain, so I know how it works. But the thing is simply this, you get away with it. But you have to look in the windshield. I love you, so I'm going to tell you what I heard God tell me as I was in the room praying this afternoon. Some of you are prisoners of your past.
Yes.
And you don't have to be. Nope. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 to lay aside every weight and sin which besets us,
yes,
and run the race that is set before us. Let me tell you something tonight. If you've got a past, you've got a promise.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
If you've got a past, good. Because you know what? I challenge you to testify about where you've been. Pastor, but you wouldn't respect me if you knew I'd been in prison. I'd respected you more because you came out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pastor, if you knew that I was an alcoholic that drank every day, and now I'm saved, you would be ashamed of me. No, I wouldn't. I'd say, come up here and testify about the goodness of God.
Yes, thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Tell me where you've been, And then while you're telling me where you've been, how about telling me where you're going?
Amen.
See, the problem is simply this, and I want to help Newland Christian Church this evening. Do you really want this church to grow? Yes, Lord, I want it to grow.
Amen.
Some of you tossed in the air. Let me ask Newland Christian Church again, do you want this church to grow?
Yes.
Then don't pick and choose.
Yes.
Because some of your greatest workers in your churches, wherever you guys go to, some of the greatest workers in your churches may have just got out of prison.
That's right. Amen.
I told the people at my church, I said, my guys that's taking up the offering, they're going to be former bank robbers. You might say, they'll steal the money. No, they won't. If you'll show them you trust them, they'll go to hell and back for you.
Yes, amen.
And you know I'm telling the truth. But pastor, they'll have the temptation. No, they won't. Because they're going to say, that pastor believes in me.
Yes, amen.
See, I told God at City of Refuge, and we truthfully do, I don't think we have anybody in our church that got saved outside our church. Glory to God. Everybody that's got saved has been saved in our church. Me and my wife are the only ones that was saved before City of Refuge began with the people that we got.
Amen.
I told God this, God, give me those that don't fit into the church. And you know what? God's been hearing my prayer. I got a guy that just got out of prison.
Amen.
He came to me and he said, Preacher, I think there's something I need to tell you. Man, at this point in my ministry, there's nothing nobody can tell me that I don't surprise me. He said, I just got out of prison. I said, well, you're in the right place.
Yes, amen.
And I looked right at Trey and I said, Trey, God's going to use you, son.
Yes,
he's
amen.
Tattooed up. He's missing a tooth. You know, he don't look like the typical, stereotypical House of Social Gathering boy.
Yeah,
he looks like someone that Jesus died for.
Yes.
And the thing is simply this. I don't mess y'all up. I'm trying to land this plane. But if you'll look at people who God used, they wasn't scribes and Pharisees. They wasn't Sadducees.
That's right.
They were 9 fishermen, 2 tax collectors, and a murderer. The first 12 people that Jesus called was 9 fishermen, 2 tax collectors, and a murderer. You might say a murderer. Judas was a zealot. Zealots were murderers. He didn't go into the church and say, hey, I need that guy in that 3-piece. I need that guy over yonder that's got that big old mansion on the hill. Jesus said, boys, cast your nets down. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. See, the thing is, guys, we're wanting to portray Jesus as the church. But Jesus was a homeless man too. Oh, I'm getting somewhere here. I know I've got to help. The Bible said the foxes have dens, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. Think about that. When you look at Jesus, he looks like each and every one of us. I mean, the only difference between me and Jesus, he had hair and I don't. Jesus was a Nazarene. Nazarenes didn't cut their hair. So, you know, they didn't cut their beard. Think about it. Jesus is that. How many times you went by a homeless person? I really want to share this because how many times have you went by a homeless person and you looked down on them? Can I tell you something? We all are one light of a match, one spark of a fire from being homeless.
Amen. That's right.
You could go home tonight where home used to be, and your home's burnt down. And that same man that you looked at, not touch you, but use an example, that you looked at shunned, you're now him. If you go home tonight, I've got to take my family home and then come back up because I want to tuck my babies in tonight because I go to school tomorrow, and I'm going to drive back up after service, after I do that. You're going to say, Pastor, that's crazy. No, I make a promise to my babies. On Sunday night, I'm going to put a little note in their lunch boxes. Let my little girls know that I love them with all my heart. And I want them, brothers, and I know you can say this if you have daughters, I want them to marry somebody just like me. So I showed them that they're important. So I told them, I said, I'm gonna go home with you tonight, tuck y'all in and come back. But you know, the thing is, we're not promised what's going to happen when we leave this place tonight. When I look at people and the situations they're in, I don't know if it's big up here, but we have a big drug problem in Iredell County. It is happening in our schools. At Wilkes Central, where I teach at, there's 10 teenage girls pregnant right now. And the thing is simply this. I hear people talking about them, but you know what I do? I love on them. Because you know, right now is when they need us the most. They need us the most. They need a young lady like you that would take that little young lady under her wing and say, you know what, mom and daddy might have kicked you out, but I'll go with you to every OBGYN appointment. I'll be there with you when your baby's born. I'll give you a baby shower. I'll show you something that you're missing.
Yes.
Think about it. We, as the body of Christ, we need to start expecting. We need to start expecting. Newland Christian Church, I'm telling you, you need to start expecting.
Yes, amen.
Because we're going to church. I don't know if it happens up here, but it happens down in my area. We go to church and we go through the motions.
Yeah.
We go through the motions. We're predictable.
Yeah.
Can I help you? And when you're predictable, you're no threat to Satan.
That's right.
Because he knows what's going to happen in the church before you get there, because it's been going that way for years.
Yeah.
It's been going that way for years. It's like this, as they come and get ready to do it, the altar call song, how are we going to do it? Let's stop being predictable.
Yes, amen.
Somebody asked me, this is a crazy question, y'all. Are you worried about that hurricane in the Atlantic Ocean? No. What's going to happen if? My granny taught me a long time ago, if Biff and Bucks were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. We live, what if this happens? What if that? I mean, I think I've just hit something. Somebody's heard me in time. But the thing is, guys, let's don't be predictable. In this revival, let's don't be predictable. Let's throw Satan off. Let's show Satan that we're not going to be predictable.
Amen.
How many of you wives like a predictable husband? Y'all can, I'm going to help you here. Like a predictable husband. How many of you won't raise your hand and say, my husband's pretty predictable? Think about this. One thing that I will tell you is, if we would do something called O in our marriages and in our walk with God, what does OWE stand for? One way every day. One way every day, show somebody the love of God.
Yes, amen.
It can be through a hug. It can be through other different ways. I'm an EC teacher. I teach exceptional children. And I think they teach me more than I teach them.
Amen.
Have you ever been around an EC child? They're the most loving children in the world. I sit there every time we do the Special Olympics as he's getting this ready. Every time we do the Special Olympics, nobody finishes last. Because somebody can be way ahead. And uh-oh, my buddy's not with me. I got to go back and get him.
Yep,
and I'll go back and get him. We'll all finish together.
Yep.
What if the church could take a lesson?
Yes.
Glory to God. We see our brother struggling before
yes.
we reach the finish line. Come with me, brother. I got you going with me. We're going together this thing.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Leave no brother behind.
Yes.
And that's the way we need to be in the body of Christ.
Amen.
So tonight, as everyone stands, as you're sitting there right now, I don't want to do anything that I don't feel the Holy Spirit leading. But if you're here tonight, and if there's any other ministers here besides Pastor Philip and I, Elder, if you will, come and stand with us. If there's any other ministers here tonight, I'm going to challenge you to come on up. Craig, come on up. But I want you to come up here. If there's any other ministers here, If you're here tonight and you have a need, I don't care what it is, I'm going to ask you to come. So you got to get out of your comfort zone. If you have a need tonight, I don't care if it's a big one, I don't care if it's a small one, I don't care if it's a wanting to know what direction God wants you to go in the next step of your life, whatever it is. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to challenge you to come up. Because, guys, the thing is simply this. If we have a need, as y'all guys sung it a while ago, it's under the blood.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Well, I'll tell you what, y'all hit that. That was good, boys. That's one. That young man, there's some gifting all up in that place. I was thinking to myself, God, if I had that guy playing for me, had that guy singing at the church, you know.
Amen.
You know, glory to God. It's kind of like this. At our church, we have all different genres of music. We'll have three different services starting in January. We'll have a contemporary, a southern, and then one for the youth. We're gonna have like a Christian rock. I'll put some big old things in my ear so I can't hear it, but I'll sit there. Whatever it takes.
Amen.